Hey everybody, it's me, Blue Jay Audio, also known as Jay. It is a pleasure to be sitting down here and answering a couple of questions for you guys. I did not expect to get so many questions, so I have no idea how long this is going to be, so I hope you don't mind me rambling a little bit. An idea actually occurred to me before I started to record this AMA to not only make it a bit of an AMA, but perhaps add a little bit of ambiance. So, I hope you guys wouldn't mind my first installment of Blue Jays Fireside Chats. Toasty. First thing I want to get out of the way before we start getting into the questions is a big thank you to everybody who showed a lot of support and love to the collab project that I was a part of, along with Bruised Shins, Apiary, and Priest of Aphrodite. It was organized by Wicked Fairy. That whole project, the amount of love that it received, it astounds me. It still does. I was the editor for that, the final collab, and I procrastinated a lot up until the point to where we were going to release it, and so because of that, there was a 15-hour long stretch up until the point of me posting it, where I just spent that entire period editing, and so that took a lot out of me. Yeah, it stayed up 30 minutes, I think, after I'd posted it, and then I crashed, and I was out for a while, and when I came to, for up until this point, I had been less engaged with Reddit just because I felt like I needed a bit of a break. I started making audios like a month ago, and then I took on this project, and it was a lot. It was a lot more than I expected. Me biting off more than I can chew is pretty on par with what usually happens. So I need to figure out what my pacing is going to be a little bit. I appreciate you guys standing by while I figure that nonsense out. But again, thank you guys so much for all of the support, like genuinely. I wasn't able to respond to the comments that I wanted to, and I wasn't able to reach out to as many people as I wanted to and offer thanks. And I feel bad about that because I was just like less engaged with Reddit, and prior to that, I mostly responded to almost all comments. But that will probably mostly be resuming moving forward, now that I'm getting back into the swing of things. I also started a new job lately. Things are a little hectic, but, a lot of nonsense. No one's here for nonsense, right? We're here for questions. We're here to figure out stuff about me. God. How narcissistic, man. But that's okay. You guys want to know about me, I'm more than happy to oblige. I'm going to start on the anonymous, AMA form that I posted through Google Docs. And to start, this is someone who wrote four questions for me in one single submission. The first question, You have such an articulate, smooth voice. Do you have any acting experience? First of all, thank you so much. I have never thought my voice to be articulate or smooth. But, that aside, yes, I actually do have acting experience. I didn't do a lot of, like, big, stage productions when I was in high school and college, but I did compete in a debate-esque event-type thing in high school called Forensics. I was also in debate, so that kind of aids my articulate nature a little bit, I suppose, I've been told. Debate really helps shape how you end up talking to people. So, you know, for those of you who have kids out there, genuinely, I'd recommend, you know, looking in the debate. It did a lot for me. Public speaking has never been an issue for me ever since I took debate. But back onto the acting experience thing. So Forensics, I did an event called Dramatic Interpretation, which is a solo event where you act out a 10-minute monologue. And they're normally very sad. They're incredibly sad. Dead puppies, children with cancer, you know, that type of stuff. And they're very dramatic, obviously, with the name. But it's, like, really intense acting, you know? It really requires you to just kind of get into that character and figure out what they're going through in order to emulate that as best as you can. And I did that for 3 of my 4 years, and I did it semi-casually on my 4th year, but I kind of fell out of it because I was a senior in high school and I didn't care about anything. And I kind of regret that. But yes, that's where a good portion of my acting experience stems from, is forensics. I did a couple of other events when I was in forensics as well. I did poetry reading, I did prose reading, I did duo acting with a couple of good friends of mine. I did some improv, and that was always really fun, even though it was ridiculous. But yes, a good portion of my acting experience specifically comes from dramatic interpretation. The next question, question number two, from the same person, is what is it you love the most about doing voice work? And this is something I'm still kind of actually trying to figure out a bit. I haven't been in the space very long, like I alluded to and have alluded to, a little over a month at this point. But the praise is excellent, I'll say that. The way that you guys just unabatedly shower me with praises, it's a lot to handle at times because I've never experienced any degree of praise like that. And, praise kink. Haha. But another thing that in particular I find that I'm enjoying a lot about this space, and I'm probably going to talk about this more as we move on through the AMA because I think I saw a couple of questions that ask about this, is how I'm kind of discovering a bit more about my sexuality as I continue to, make fills and engage with people in the space. Because I entered this space completely as a submissive man, and that has changed quite fast, I'll say. mostly through the Death series. Tina wrote just such an excellent character with Death, and I found that I was able to relate to Death as a concept and a character really well. Not to sound incredibly edgy or anything, but just with how incredibly loving and gentle he is, like I feel that, And to be able to bring that out and provide that contrast, like in the collab, for example, when there's rougher elements taking place throughout the entirety of the piece, to be able to like set a foundation of comfort and safety for something like that to occur. Oh, man, it's everything to me. It's everything. So, another thing that I definitely do love about doing voice work and, making more stuff is that I'm learning more about myself. And to be perfectly frank, I just love making stuff. I've been a creative for a long time, and it's been a while since I've committed to actually producing anything or like getting better at stuff. So that has also been a very rewarding experience. Question number three from this person. Do you write too? If not, do you plan on writing? And I have. I wrote a lot of poetry when I was younger, again, because I was an edgy teenager. And I wrote a little bit of poetry when I was in college too, and I sporadically do so here and there still. I used to write some music. I wrote a couple of short stories when I was younger. So I used to write. I've fallen out of it though. When I first entered this space, I started writing a couple of scripts, but as time has gone on, I've committed a lot more to doing voice work. So unfortunately, some of those scripts have gone by the wayside a little bit, but they still exist. And I plan on at some point releasing a couple of scripts because, well, I like to write, And there's some excellent writers. There are some excellent writers in this space that are really, really, really good at writing naughty audio scripts, and I have a lot to learn from them, and I'd like to. So yeah, I absolutely plan on writing at some point in the near future. But, things take time. I have no idea when it'll be. Hopefully soon. Number four, what is your biggest goal in life right now? That's a big one. Wow, what is my biggest goal in life right now? I'm getting through it, man. I'm just kind of getting through it. I'm 20 years old, and as much as I thought that I knew what I wanted to do with my life when I was 16, I had no fucking idea. And now that I'm here and I accept the fact that I have no idea, I'm just trying to get through it until something appeals to me, I suppose. But things are going pretty all right for now. Thank you so much for those four questions, by the way. They provided a lot of a lot of introspection on my part. The next question. You mentioned in an interview that you were a sub. How did you come to that realization, and does that influence the audios that you either listen to or record? When I first entered the space, yes, it did influence the audios that I recorded, and it still predominantly influences the audios that I listen to. A good portion of the audios that I listen to are M sub, you know? So either femdom stuff or M sub audios themselves, I listen to a lot of those. I also listen to male DOMs. But F sub stuff still is a little bit off my radar a little bit. I plan on fixing that. I do. Because, you know, this whole experience with learning I'm a bit more of a switch has provided me with insight, and some of the F-sub fills that I've listened to, or some of the F-sub ramble faps that I've listened to, are really, really good. Like, really good. So, in regards to what I listen to, I'm expanding into F-sub territory, but that was really the only thing that I didn't, because, I mean, I'm pansexual, and so my interests have always kind of been all over the place, and that doesn't really change here that much either. But how I came to the realization I was a sub, it was one of my first sexual encounters with a girlfriend I had had. And I won't get into too many details, but there was a point in which she grabbed me by the wrists and pinned my arms above my head, and she just looked me in the eyes. She was on top of me. And that did something to me. That did something monumental to me. Oh man, it was like a door had been unlocked or something, you know. And that, I can't remember exactly when that was, but I had always kind of been a little bit like the role of the dominant had never really appealed to me. I'd never looked into it up until that point too much, into being like a male and not being, you know, dominant, because, you know, that's kind of the given assumption with a lot of how society views the sexual role of the man. But once I kind of looked into it a bit, I realized how much I relate to all the, you know, the content that was produced in those spaces, and I related to the words of those people, like of the people in those spaces, and yeah, you know. And after that happened, I kind of leaned exclusively into submissive territory because I was a little upset, to be honest. I didn't really realize it until I thought about it recently and kind of made the determination I'm a bit more of a switch. But yeah, I advertised the fact that I was submissive because I was kind of bummed, to be perfectly honest, with how little submissive men kind of get talked about in the spaces I'm in, at least, or was in. Because, you know, it took me up until late teen years to figure out that was even a possibility for me. Like, this has been a fairly recent development in my life, despite the fact that I've been sexually active for, like, several years now. But it's, I don't know, I was just, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, I think, I definitely not, but I was just upset with the fact that I could have explored this side of me a lot sooner and hadn't, and so I advertised it with the possibility in mind that maybe some other guys around me might, you know, pick up on that, and maybe they'll start asking questions about their sexuality too, you know, because I also live in the Midwest of the United States, which isn't known for its sexual inclusivity or inclusivity of many types of varieties. And so, you know, being outspoken about that type of stuff, to me at least, it provides the opportunity for things to change. And so that's what I tried to do. Thank you for your question. Moving on to the next one, a little bit more lighthearted. What is my type? And this one, I can kind of use the previous answers as a basis for, like I said, I'm a switch, and I'm pansexual. There is no type. I like people. And that sounds like a cop-out, you know? It sounds like I'm just avoiding articulating my aesthetic preferences, but genuinely, There have been very few times in my life where I feel as though I've had an aesthetic preference towards a partner or just people in general. It's hard for me to explain. But yeah, I've never really had a type. I've tried to settle a couple of times on a type, and that never really works out. But to be a little bit more in depth with this, because there are things I look for. I like somebody that I can have an intellectually, provocative. There we go. That's the word. An intellectually provocative conversation with. I like somebody who can challenge my ideas, my beliefs, and somebody who I can do the same to in a healthy and constructive manner. I like people who can make me laugh. I like somebody who can listen. Somebody who allows me to listen. I don't know. But yeah, I think those ones are probably what I look for most out of anything. But moving on, thank you for your question. Can we write you scripts? Can we write you scripts? Yes, you can write me scripts. This is another one that has several questions in the line. Yeah, by all means, you can write me scripts. If you feel the urge to write something that you think my voice would do really well with, or you write something with me in mind, by all means, shoot it to me and be like, "Hey, here's this thing." I can never promise that I'll be able to fill a script if somebody gives it to me, especially now that I'm starting to gain a bit of traction and people are like, I think I've gotten, I think 6 or 7 sent to me at this point. But yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I'm still figuring out pacing, like I said, but I should be able to at least get to the script. And really, another thing that's probably worth talking about is content. There's a few things that I personally don't like to have in the fills that I do. There's some things that I try to avoid, and I haven't really broadcasted what those are yet. And it's a lot of energy to do so now because, I don't want this to be the gold standard. So at some point, I'm gonna compile a list of like general things I try to avoid in my fills, like I don't know, blood and knife play and stuff like that. And then I'll give you guys that so you can use it as a resource if you ever feel so inclined to write me a script. But whatever the case may be, if you ever find yourself doing so, I want you to know, damn, that's a lot of effort, and Jesus, I appreciate that. Very deeply. The next question from this person is, what's my zodiac sign? And I am a Gemini. I don't really do the whole astrology thing all that much. It's not my cup of tea. But yes, I'm a Gemini. I was born in June. Next question is, do I like my voice? I'm associates with my voice. I've made peace with my voice. I don't like it. I don't hate it. You guys seem to enjoy it, which is odd to me. But, I used to hate it before I started making audios, actually. It was through the process of editing, having to sit down and listen to my voice over again, to make sure that, I didn't flub any lines or there aren't any weird audio ticks that happen. Having to sit down and thoroughly listen to your recorded voice, something about it just kind of nullifies your emotional response to it. So I think that's kind of how I can say I'm associates to my voice now, because it's, yeah, it's like we have a business relationship. Okay, and lastly, how did you get into voice acting? I do things kind of spontaneously. I'd been listening to audios in this space since January of 2021. I started because I was just kind of bored with regular porn, and I had been kind of curious about the space for a bit, and so I started listening. And it was around that time that I actually leaned a lot more into being a, male submissive and starting to, advertise that a little bit more openly. But yes, I got into voice acting as a spur of the moment thing. Because I was like, I have a good mic because I'm a gamer. I have a half decent mic because I play video games with friends, and so The audio quality is pretty half decent already. I've thought about recording music for a while now, and I wanted to know how to edit audio a bit better too. There were a bunch of different reasons that I decided to actually make a Reddit account and start posting audio fills and just generally my voice. I'll have to think on it, I think, because I'm still not quite sure myself. I'm not sure what I'm doing here. But yeah, I'll think on it. I appreciate the questions. There were four of them. The next question, do you have any tattoos or piercings? And yes, I do. I have a tattoo that I got from my father as a 16th birthday present. It's kind of like a tradition we do in our family. I got the tattoo on my left ribs, and he got a similar tattoo in the same location. And that was really cool. It's like a ship. It's like an old-timey ship, and it's a beautiful piece. I love it a lot. It's the only tattoo I have right now. I really, really, really want to get more, but I'm kind of poor. But I'll get around to it eventually. And piercings, yes, I do have piercings. I have both of my ears pierced with just one lobe piercing, which I did myself fairly recently, actually. And I also have my left nostril pierced, which I also did myself fairly recently. It went well, for what it's worth. I'll probably just go to a shop next time because, oh God, what an experience that was. But yeah, I still want to get more piercings too. More tattoos, more piercings, more body art. I like body art, you know? I'm a Gen Z guy. That should track, at least it typically does. But yeah. Next question is, hi. Hello. I'm just curious as to why you think Dom doesn't fit you, okay? Because the Death audios were a masterpiece and you embodied the perfect soft Dom. Hope this serves as some sort of encouragement because I really love your audios. Finding you was like finding a hidden gold mine. Well, that's kind of a question, but really that's a lot more of a compliment. Thank you so much. God, I'm blushing. What a fool. Okay. Let's see about this. Why do I think Dom doesn't fit you? Okay, so like I said, I'm getting around to it. God, I need to give me a second. Whew, okay. I'm getting around to it. God, I'm probably not gonna cut this out. I don't want to edit this too much because Jesus, I've been editing so much lately. But oh God, I'm ugh, yeah. Eh. I'm good. I'm all good. I'm just smiling like an idiot. okay. I'm getting around to welcoming the Dom side of me a lot more. I'm recognizing its merits because I've been dominated before. I mean, yeah, of course I have. And so, from that experience of being a submissive man being dominated, I know what I like when I'm being dominated. And so, transitioning that over into domination and providing that for a sub, that's easy for me because I've had some very good DOMs in my past, and they've provided me with a lot of insight into what they do. They've had very open conversations with me about, like how they feel in the moment, the things that they tell me and where that comes from and stuff. And that's provided me a really good foundation to kind of explore this side of myself a little bit more. And I think it has. I think it has. So, certainly keep the ears to the ground for more Dom-esque stuff moving forward. I recorded two script fills today so far. One of them is really switchy, and one of them's a little bit vanilla, but it's really cute, and it's got a lot of good girls in there. But yeah, I definitely plan on doing more dominant man fills moving forward. I don't know to what extent I'm going to reach my arm into the rough edges of it. I still need to figure that out a bit. I personally, as a sub, I'm not really that fond of that stuff, so it could very well be that that's the case for my dominant side as well. You guys heard me be a gentle dom. You know how that sounds. It's what I like. It's as it stands right now, at least. It's what I like to do. It is to be comforting and to make people feel safe. That intimacy, it's excellent. It's excellent. All right. But thank you for the question. Thank you very much for the compliment. Oh, God, it's so sweet. Okay, no, moving on. Moving on. All right. Are blue jays your favorite bird? And I've, I suppose this makes sense as a question, my username and all that. But honestly, blue jays are kind of little shits. they're okay birds. They're very beautiful. Oh God, I love how beautiful they are. But the for those of you who haven't listened to the interview that I did with Wicked Fairy, the gimme, the get in my ears interview, I talked a little bit about it there. But basically, when I was very, very young, my eyes were very blue, like really, really blue. And they'd stand out in pictures and like just, you know, if I was hanging out outside or just in general, my eyes were intensely blue. And they've grayed a little bit as time has gone on. They've softened a bit. They're now like a bluish gray type thing. But I also have I have a J name. So because of that, some people would call me Blue Jay. And it was a really cute nickname, you know? And I thought about it while I was figuring out what I wanted the name of the channel to be. And I was like, you know what? That's cute. I like that. Let's do that. And so, yeah, that's why the name is what it is. But blue jays are okay in terms of behavior, but they're very beautiful. So moving on. Hi. Hello. First of all, I just want to say your audios are so amazing, especially the ones you do as collabs, and I can't even believe someone like you has your kind of voice because it is so attractive. Okay. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. My first question is, what made you start making audios? All right, I've kind of covered that one a bit. It was very sporadic. I just kind of decided to. I'll figure it out eventually and provide a better answer at some point, maybe. The second is, what are your hopes for this kind of hobby related to your growth and content? Okay, now this is something I've thought nothing about. You know, with how much I love to foster that, like, you know, that level of intimacy and that level of comfort in the audios that I make, I've thought about branching out into, you know, doing customs and, like, making a Patreon and stuff like that. I haven't gotten around to it. I've made the Patreon account. I have a Patreon account, but don't go looking for it because there ain't shit there yet. I'm working on it. I need to figure out exactly what it is I want to do in a space like that before I can start growing it. But besides the whole monetization and the nonsense, one of the first things that made me decide to start listening to audio porn was because I had listened to audio sleep aids on YouTube. I like those really long ones with narratives and people with calming voices, you know, that type of stuff. I'm sure some of them probably post in this space too. But I've never looked, but, that was really what kind of made me clue into this space in particular, was listening to those like really long, sleep aid audios. And so one thing that I'm really interested in doing is like starting up a YouTube account potentially. And maybe trying to do that too. You know, that would be really, really cool to be able to provide for people, you know, the thing that, you know, that community has provided for me. It'd be, oh God, it'd be such an honor. So, you know, I might make a YouTube account at some point, moving forward. And besides that, I'm gonna start like, I don't know. I don't actually know, come to think of it. I'm still trying to figure it out, I think. I've said it before, I'm fairly new. And so there's still a lot with this space that I'm still trying to negotiate, some things that I'm trying to reconcile, and some things that I'm trying to understand. But with hope, I'll be able to have a bit more of a concise answer with that as well moving forward. But for now, definitely, you know, plan on making long-form sleep aid content moving forward. Might put it on YouTube, might not, who knows. And the third is, what is your ideal type of girl? Okay. Or person. Well, in this case, it'd be person. I like people who are nice to me. I talked about what my type was up above. You know, I like people who can intellectually stimulate me. I like people who can make me laugh. I like people who can challenge me and make improving a cooperative experience, you know? Because that's what it, yeah, that's really one of my best forms of intimacy is that's one of my favorite forms of intimacy is being vulnerable and improving through it with your partner. So that, I suppose. And I'm looking forward to your future work. Thank you. Your compliments are enough to make me blush. They did. And thank you for the questions. I apologize that I've, like, you know, they're somewhat common asks, but I hope my prior answers were somewhat satisfactory. Next question. What is my favorite genre of music? God. Okay. So I'm going to show my age here a little bit because I didn't used to listen to really new stuff before, but that kind of changed a little bit after I went to college. Like, here, let me open up some of my favorite playlists right now. It's super teenage angst shit, but it's whatever. I like the way it sounds. I listen to a lot of Lil Peep. I listen to a lot of Mac Miller. I listen to a lot of the Gorillaz. I listen to let's see. I listen to some Juice. I listen to Joji. I listen to you know, that type of stuff. I listen to Suicide Boys and Ghost Mane, you know, like, so, like, emo rap, sad boy rap, you know, that type of stuff. I just like the way that the audio effects that they use. I like the way that it compiles together to make the thing that they produce. And I also like, in the instance of, like, Ghost Mane or Suicide Boys in particular, I like the rhythmic style of rapping. It's like the way that it sounds and the flow that they use. It's incomprehensible at times when it comes to understanding lyrics while you're listening, unless you're watching, like, looking at a lyric sheet. But it sounds fantastic. Like, it flows so well. They have a very keen understanding of music, and it's atypical, but it's presented very well. And I really like listening to that type of stuff. A lot of the content is it's sad, and to be perfectly frank with you guys, I've been on antidepressants for a couple of, like, a year. I'd probably needed to be on them for several, but I started them and I recently stopped them. And you know, like, sad boy, you know, that type of stuff. And though that period of my life is mostly past, I still listen to a lot of the music from that time, I suppose. Partially because I just kind of haven't put in the effort to change it, but also because music's kind of good. It's really fucking good. So, you know, I'll move on to different music maybe eventually if I ever feel like it, but who knows, I might never feel like it. I'll get there when I get there. But yeah, favorite genre of music? It'd probably be sad boy rap, if I'm being 100% honest. But yeah. I have a very varied music taste in general, I suppose, though. One of my favorite first artists, I suppose, performers, was Johnny Cash. I love Johnny Cash. I listen to a lot of old country. I listen to a lot of classical music. I love a good symphony. But it just kind of depends on my mood. Typically the stuff I listed prior is the default, but, you know, if I'm feeling spicy, I'll shake things up a bit. But yes, thank you for the question. Disable, okay. Moving on. My favorite type of food? Okay. What is your favorite type of food? Love your audios. X. Thank you. X right back. And then an O even. That's right. A free O. Nice. What's my favorite food? Ah, God, this question always puzzles me, because I don't know what my favorite food is. I don't really put a whole lot of stock in the you know, like, eating a thing consistently. I try to have a bit of a variety. some Midwestern comfort food that I really enjoy, you know, like chicken fried steak. You know, that shit slaps. That it goes undeniably hard. You know, your green bean casseroles, you know, that type of stuff. Tater tot casserole, that's another big one. Tater tot casserole's huge. But when it comes to like what types of food I enjoy the most, typically it's like spicy and savory stuff. I'm not really that big on sweet food. I do indulge myself and from time to time, but for the most part, I enjoy my spices and my savories. I recently did the one chip challenge with that chip that has Carolina Reaper all over it. I did it on Halloween, and it was possibly one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made. But general spicy stuff, yeah. And I think from that experience, I've actually gotten even better at taking heat. So, you know, now I've kind of leaned into it even more recently. I like Indian food a lot. But yeah, so, you know, anything spicy is typically my forte. The next question is, do you like mint chip ice cream? And it's funny that someone would bring up mint chip ice cream specifically, because mint chip is my favorite ice cream. Like, I love the contrast of dark chocolate to mint more so than I love the contrast of chocolate to peanut butter. Like, it's just, it has so much more of a bite and so much more of an enhanced flavor profile. And it's like the peanut butter they typically use, and like chocolate peanut butter stuff is weird anyway. But like, the combination of dark chocolate and mint, it is phenomenal. It is so good. It is, it's good. So yes, I do enjoy mint chocolate chip ice cream. All right, so now I'm moving on to my DMs. I didn't get as many questions in my DMs, but there was one person in particular who sent me a whole like a whole bunch of questions in the DMs. I'm gonna get this one out of the way first, though. It's a little bit sh it's much shorter actually, and it's just, do you have any pets? And yes, I do. She's actually sitting on my bed right beside me right now. Her name is Miss Shirley. She's an excellent kitty. I got her from my grandma. She had been living on her farm for a little bit, and grandma didn't want to have to take care of her because she recently had to, she recently lost a cat herself, and she didn't want to have to, you know, rekindle an emotional connection to an animal like that. And so I took her off her hands, and she's just such an excellent girl. She loves pets so much. She like she, above all else, she likes being petted. She doesn't really do toys that much, weirdly enough. We leave like hair ties and like those weird like plastic rings that are under the lid on milk jugs. We leave those on the floor for her because she likes to play with those. But other than that, she doesn't really play with a lot of toys. She mostly just likes to be pet and she likes to sleep. But she's a very good girl. She's mostly white with like black ears and a black face and blue eyes. Oh, she's beautiful. Yeah, she's such a good girl. So yeah, if you ever hear like a bell jingling in my audios, or you've heard it throughout this AMA possibly, then yes, that would be Shirley sitting on my bed. She's a good girl. But moving on to this big one. Writing a direct message? Yes, it's okay. But I do have a few questions. How long was I an observer on the platform, and what made me want to become an active part of it? All right, I've touched base on that a bit. About a year now, I've been listening in, and I just kind of felt like it. Ha. What criteria are decisive for you to fill out a script? So this one, I've thought about a bit as well, actually. And it kind of. I don't really know. At this point, I think I've filled maybe 10, 15, or 10 or 12, maybe. I don't know, some around there. And all of them, to my mind, have been incredibly well written. And they've also been very intimate, you know. And like just generally, they foster this feeling of, you know, intimacy and comfort that I really look for. In my sexual encounters, I suppose. So I really suppose that's a good portion of it is just You know, I look for audios that are comfy, make me feel good. Or I look for scripts that would make me feel good were I to read them. Do the audios reflect your sex life? A little bit. I always feel as though I'm, like, capable of relating to the reading character of whatever script fill I end up doing. But, you know, that could lend credence to my acting experience a bit. I feel a connection with all of the fills that I do. I don't really just record a fill to record a fill. I look for stuff that I really like, and though I'm not 100% sure if they reflect my sex life, they certainly reflect my interests, both in a narrative and in sexual interests in general, I suppose. Where was that? Oh no, I lost the page. I was looking for information and I lost the page. I'm such a fool. Let's find it again. Oh my goodness, I found it. It wasn't that big of a deal. Nice. Alright, we're right back there. Do you prefer... Oh wait, no. Let me find it. How much fantasy do you fulfill in the fills for yourself? Well, I think I lean a lot into the fantasy of whatever the audio I might be recording would happen to be. I don't know if you can hear the geese, but there are geese outside. Bastards. But yeah, I try to lean into the fantasy presented by the writer as much as I can. I really like doing the BFE thing, because, you know, just as an example, BFEs are, you know, they have that established rapport and comfort already preset in the script, and so it's, you know, it's nice to lean into the idea of being in such a emotionally vulnerable and open relationship with somebody, and, you know, having that level of comfort and trust. You know, so sure. I mean, as a single guy, I can enjoy leaning into that narrative a little bit. Ah, I need some water. I've been talking for like 43 minutes. Excuse me. Oh God, closer to like 2 hours, because I did fills before this. Oof. Okay. I'm gonna have to probably edit those out. Those are super loud. I'm not gonna worry about it. Anyway. More of those questions, because there are still many. What do you prefer, safe for work or not safe for work? I've just because of the sheer number of hours I've probably engaged with safe for work stuff, I'd probably say that probably has the higher total. But in terms of like what I like to put out, I find that I like both of them quite a bit. It's like sitting down and making a safe for work script is very different than sitting down and making a not safe for work script, because typically after a not safe for work script fill, I'm lightheaded as hell, and you know, I'm panting, and you know, I need to take a breather. But with a safe for work script, you know, it provides for me a lot of what the script would provide for somebody who listens. You know, it's very calming. It's a very relaxing experience. So I like making both of them very much. The next question is, how is your time management? And the answer to that is absolutely terrible. That anecdote about me sitting down for 15 hours to do some editing for that collab is not a singular instance of that happening in my life. But I'm working on it, and I think I'm getting a little bit better. Do you work, and how does GWA fit into your life? So I actually started making GWA content. Here's another reason why I probably started as well. Was because I worked at a gas station, and I got fired from that gas station. Doing the 20-year-old, just moving from job to job, doing nonsense work here and there. And, I got fired from the gas station because me and a friend of mine, the grammar's probably terrible, but, we had this heist planned for a very long time because him and I are both very big fans of Mountain Dew Baja Blast, and I worked at a gas station where we had access to a fountain. And so we had this heist planned where we would be able to get one of the people who worked at our Taco Bell to slide us a concentrated syrup box of Baja Blast out the back, and we would, you know, we'd slide them the necessary funds, and then we would hook it up to the fountain at work, and then, you know, that's exactly what we did. That is exactly what we did. And then I got fired for it. But you know what? It was funny, and I got paid $10 an hour there anyway, so screw them. But now I work stocking shelves. I'm not going to say where. But I work at a soulless husk corporate entity stocking shelves. And I get paid more. It's not a terrible gig, but, you know, it's hard work, I will say that. How does GWA fit into my life from that? Well, it was a lot easier to write, not write, it was a lot easier to record and edit stuff when obviously I was looking for a job still, because I had a lot more free time. And now that I have significantly less free time, it's a bit harder. But I find that I still enjoy doing this as a hobby, first and foremost, so I find personal enjoyment in the whole process of doing it. So, I will try my best to continue making time for it, because already, it's quite important to me. Are you thinking about doing this long-term? As it stands right now, yeah, I could definitely see myself doing this long-term. I don't know what the longevity of people in this space typically is, but I could definitely see myself lasting as long as people don't get tired of me, I suppose. Do you write yourself? Yeah, like I said before, I do a bit here and there, and I used to, certainly much more so, but with hope I'll get back into it. Does your environment know about your online life, your partner, your family, friends? Some of my family knows about the stuff that I do in my space, in this space, not my space. Haha, my space. Almost all of my friends know that I make audio porn, just because I'm very open with the people that I pick as friends, because, you know, they're good people. They're really good people. I have a great group of friends, and I feel comfortable sharing with them a lot of personal details about my life, and they often do the same about themselves. And you know, it's a great little community we have, where we just kind of like come together, do our thing, and we hang out with each other. And so in those spaces, yes, I'm very open about what I do here, and my roommate knows, obviously. They are very amicable to it. They think it's kind of funny. If yes, what did they say about it? If no, why would it bother you if they knew? And above all, what they would think about it? I don't know how many people have listened to my audio specifically. Like, I don't know how many of my friends have listened to my work. But I do know that several of them have actually started listening to content made on GWA or other affiliated subreddits. So, you know, I've at least done a bit to spark some interest there, and it seems like they enjoy the stuff that gets put out in spaces like this, so I'm happy to have, you know, clued them into that a little bit. Okay, so if yes, what did they say about it? They think it's very fascinating, more so than anything else. My brother-in-law, he does a lot of, like, digital editing, graphic design type stuff, and now that I'm doing audio work, he's kind of curious about that, and so I'm kind of the de facto audio guy in our space now, and we do a lot of like funny edits and inside joke type stuff in that little group chat that we have. So I've been working with them a little bit to do stuff like that too. But yeah, it's great. It's the response has been really good. My friends and some of my family are very receptive to this, and very sexually positive about it as well, which is very good to see. It means I picked very well, and I hope that they picked well as well. How much encouragement do you need as an artist? Well, I don't know about that. I don't know how much encouragement I need as an artist. I've said this before. I don't know if I said it during the interview or not, but I think I'd probably still make audios were I not to have the, you know, incredible response that I've had thus far, simply because of the fact that I enjoy the process so much. Yeah, I I think I just like sitting down and making an audio. It's almost a cathartic experience at times. It can be. It can provide comfort for me. And when I posted that first audio, Something More Divine, I didn't know anybody in this space, and I didn't know what the reception was going to be like at all. I wasn't bugging out over it, though. I was fairly confident that, you know, it would receive the reception that it warranted, at the very least, because, you know, like, this is a creative space full of creative people, and, you know, you guys are capable of understanding what's good and what's not. So, you know, it's a fair crowd, I'd say, at the very least. So I wasn't expecting to get absolutely blown away with praise and adoration. So and now that I have it, I suppose that it's something that I look forward to. Yes. I absolutely look forward to hearing what the kind people of the space have to say about what I put out. But I don't think it's necessary in any way. I do love encouragement, though. Praise kink, again. How important is criticism, positive or negative? And criticism's everything, to me. I'm one of those people that constantly seeks to improve because the alternative is just kind of being stagnant, and being stagnant terrifies me. And so because of that, I'm always interested, like, I'm always, you know, reflecting and thinking about, you know, who I am, what I'm doing, what I want to do, who I want to be, you know, those fundamental questions we ask ourselves as humans. And criticism helps lend perspective to that reflection and introspection. It lets me view the opinions of others, and that can help inform my own opinions about myself and the world around me, especially if they're people that I trust or I think highly of. So criticism, whether it be positive or negative, is very important for me. There hasn't been a lot of criticism in the space thus far, positive or negative. Some people have been nice enough to give me, like, some notes on how to, like, do stuff, like editing or just like post formatting or stuff like that, but for the most part there really hasn't been that much criticism. But if you guys have critiques, by all means hit me up. How is the time with COVID for you? So I was in college when COVID first hit and lockdown started, and that did me in. That was shortly before I started taking antidepressants, because it got bad. I was incredibly unhappy with my situation, and also college was making me poor because I decided to go to a private college first instead of anything else, because at times I can be a little bit dumb. Sporadic, even, almost. Almost as if that's a common theme. But because of the whole situation I was going through at the time of college, like, quarantine just compounded all of it and made it so much goddamn worse. Like, I stopped going to classes, I got depressed, I hardly ever went out to go get food. And I eventually dropped out. But the social changes and the social impacts that have been brought forth by COVID have been detrimental to many, many people. I'm significantly more agoraphobic than I used to be. I mean, hell, I've never really liked crowds, but, you know, like, being in a space with any modicum of people, it just makes me nervous now. And that kind of sucks, you know? Has anything changed for you during this time, and if so, what? Well, I mean, hell, this time has been 2 years now, so it's safe to assume that things have changed for a lot of people, you know? But certainly so for me. Like I said, I dropped out of college, now I'm just kind of working, trying to figure out what my next move is, what my game plan, you know, that fantastic question we ask in capitalist societies, like, hey, what are you going to do to contribute for the rest of your life? And I'm getting around to the answers, but in the interim, you know, getting through it. Sorry for all the questions on vacation. Okay. And that is the totality of the questions. Wow. How long has it been? How long have I been recording for? 55 minutes. Let's go.
Okay, I think I could probably wrap her up here. I'm gonna give it a little bit of light editing, probably just a noise reduction to maybe reduce the cat bell noises. But hey, if you made it this far, I really appreciate you listening. This isn't a sexy time audio, so I understand if, you know, the appeal isn't as there as it would be. But I thank you, you know? Thank you guys very, very much. It has been an incredibly pleasurable experience thus far making stuff for you guys to enjoy and listening to how you enjoy it. And it fills a hole that I really didn't know was there. Getting, like, you know, me making stuff again and contributing to something and, you know, providing something for people. It sounds narcissistic for me to say, and it probably is, but I appreciate it a lot, all of the praise. Well, I believe with that, we can conclude Blue Jay's first, and hopefully not last, fireside chat. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. I hope you guys found my answers to your satisfaction. If that isn't the case, by all means, shoot me a DM and I'll try to answer personally. Or, you know, I'll bank it up and save it for the next AMA. I've been sitting on this one for a bit already. We're almost at 1,500 followers at this point, so, you know, things are kind of growing a lot faster than I thought they would. But you guys' support means the world. I hope you have a beautiful day, full of love. And yeah, thank you for tuning in. Mwah.